هو الله سبحانه وتعالى والزد صوبه that Isa عليه السلام Jesus can be applied and deserve to be worshipped. He proved that Isa عليه السلام was not a god because he said, Allah says, مَنْ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامَ. Isa عليه السلام, the son of Mary, was only a messenger. Messengers passed before him too, and his mother was a pure, pious woman. The proof that he was just a messenger, he used to eat. They used to eat food, Allah says. So them eating food means they are not God. Thus they don't deserve to be worshipped. As Ibn al-Qayyim says, about the Christian story of Isa alayhi salam, he's amazing. And he eats and he drinks, and then there comes after that what has to come. Meaning when you eat and you drink, something has to come after that automatically. You have to empty out that food. قَالَ ثُمَّ يَأْكُلُ ثُمَّ يَشْرَبُ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي لَازِمُ ذَاكَ هَلْ هَذَا إِلَهُ. He said, and then he eats and then he drinks and what has to come, comes. Is this a god? And then a third ayah Allah says, قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. Say to them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I take other than Allah as my master, as my guardian? He is the originator of the heavens and the earth, and he is the one that feeds and is not fed. So when you fast, at that moment of hunger, you learn about Allah. Say, yes, I am in need of food. Allah, he is the one without me. Now I understand and I remember why I am the slave and he is the master. Also, there is another connection. Allah is the provider for your food. Therefore, your life is in his hands. Because if Allah said no food, there will be no food. If Allah said no more water, who will bring you water? Therefore, your life is in his hands. And anyone that you believe your life is in his hands, you will say, I am at your service. If a person were to put a gun to your head, you seek your protection, my life is in his hands, therefore I will do what he says. So this was the first thing we learned from fasting, is that who is Allah and who are the slaves of Allah? The second thing we learned from fasting, how to be trained to stay away from sin. If a person in the month of Ramadan can stay away from a glass of water during the daytime, that is halal for him to drink, how easy is it after Ramadan to stay away from the alcohol, the wine? If a person during the day of Ramadan can stay away from his wife, that is halal for him, or her husband, that is halal for her, or Malik, then after Ramadan, how easy is it to stay from the haram men and women? And the third thing we get out of fasting, protection from the fire of Jahannam. The Hadith al-Bukhari and Muslim Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, salawat Rabbi wa salamu alayhi, لا يصوم عبد يوما في سبيل الله إلا باعد الله النار عن وجهه بذلك اليوم 70 خريفا. Never does a person fast one day for the sake of Allah, except that Allah distances him from the fire for every day he fasts a 70-year distance. So how much have we done to bring us closer? And fasting is better for you if you only know. You're being obligated to distance yourself from the fire. How excellent an obligation. And fasting also protects us from shaitan. The Hadith of Anas ibn Malik, Al-Fusayl ibn Tuhayy and others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. Shaytan travels. He flows through the children of Adam, the human beings, through the back pathways of their blood, through their veins. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said, and what is known is that the produce, the byproduct, what comes out of food, is blood. The more you eat, the more blood gets produced and flows through your body. The red blood cells grow with the food that you eat. Therefore, when you are fasting, you have less blood flowing through your body, and this causes your veins to shrink. Because you don't need to pump as much blood through them. And if your veins shrink, then this would cause it to be more difficult for Shaitan to flow about around you wherever he wishes. So it protects you from Shaitan. And what else do we get out of fasting? We learn compassion. Because that moment of hunger that you feel, you realize that nothing of the hunger will end. But I begin to remember there are people at nothing today and tomorrow and the third day will come and they would not be able to break their fast even if they wanted to. This is why Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam rahimahullah used to say, we used to be taught that Yusuf alayhi salam or Ismail alayhi salam, he said, Yusuf or Ismail, they used to at meal time. They used to feed their family first, then go and feed their relatives, and then feed all of their neighbors, and they would refuse to eat until that was done. So when they were asked, why do you do this? They would respond and say, I fear to eat first, and forget what it feels like to be hungry. Thus leave others around me hungry, because I forgot what it felt like. And from this you can understand the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, like al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ibn Abbas said, was the most generous of people. And the most generous he was in the month of Ramadan. One of the early Muslims, he fasted for 40 years of his life. Every single day, except for the days that were haram. So what did he learn from his compassion? What did he learn? He learned he used to break his fast on two loaves of bread every day at Maghrib and eat nothing until the next day at Maghrib, another two loaves of bread. So one day a man came to him asking him for help, for food. So he took one of the two loaves of bread, and he knows what hunger is like. He gave him one loaf of bread. Then on the same day, before Maghrib, a second man came to him and said, give me something to eat. And he only had one loaf of bread left. So he decided to rip the loaf of bread in half. Then he told himself, wait a minute. Half a loaf of bread will not stop anybody's hunger. Meaning if I give you half a loaf, I'm going to be hungry and you're going to be hungry. He said there is no reason for two people to go to sleep hungry tonight. And he gave him the entire loaf of bread. And to fast is better for you if you only know. And also we learn from fasting to be grateful. Because the nature of most humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. And very few of my slaves are the grateful ones. Most people are like this. They don't know the value of something until they are deprived of it. Most of us do not know the value of wealth until we're a tight squeeze for cash. Most of us don't know the value of health until we get thrown into the hospital. Most people don't know the value of food until they go hungry. So we learn to be grateful. Or at least we can say, fasting is supposed to teach us how to be grateful. But unfortunately, how many of us learn this? How many of us take this lesson from Qiyam? Very few. And what is the proof that very few? Look at Iftar, look at the place of Iftar. Look at the garbage cans in the masjid before Salat al-Isha, filled with food. Throw it in the garbage. How ungrateful. Why is it at Iftar that you fill your plate when you and I know you're not going to eat it? After you are fasting. Your stomach is made to shrink and expand. You haven't eaten for all these hours, so your stomach shrinks. It's impossible for you to eat the meal that you were normally going to eat without hurting yourself. So why? Why have a mountain of rice and chicken and salad and all of this and 3/4 of it is thrown out? What have we learned from this university of Qiyam? And also fasting teaches us patience. It is a month of discipline. Fasting is a training course. Not just so I stay away from food and drink, but things that are also normally my right, I'm not allowed to have them. If a person strikes me, my Muslim brother hits me, my Muslim brother curses me, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if one of you is fasting, then do not be foolish and do not argue and do not sin. And if a person were to curse you or to fight you, say, I am fasting, I am fasting. But what about justice? Not right now, this is the training course. And the early Muslims, what they learned from this, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, a man would come to him and say, so and so said such and such about you. He said you're a show-off. He said you're a hypocrite. He said such and such. He learned to be disciplined. He didn't say, no, he is, and his family is, and his father is, and such and such. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad stopped for a moment and thought, he was patient. Then he thought to himself, maybe it's possible that what he's saying is true. He even took it into consideration. Most of the times people become angry because of arrogance that is inside of them. That is the root of much of our anger. We feel like we have a right to be praised. We have a right to be looked at. We have a right to speak and everyone else to be silent. But he had this patience inside of him. And then he said, Ya Allah, O Allah, if what he is saying about me is true, forgive me. And if what he is saying about me is a lie, then forgive him. How many of us have achieved this from our fasting? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Khalif, the president, the king, the emperor, he's walking, taking care of the city, the town. He walks into the masjid in the dark, in the middle of the night. He does not see a man laying there, it is dark, and they don't have lanterns. He trips on the man's foot and almost falls. So the man wakes up. And he says, A'ama ant, what's wrong with you? Aren't you blind? One of us will turn around and have 10 times many words for him. He's telling the president, what's wrong with you? Are you blind? Have you no eyes? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz قال له لا ومضى في طريقه. He told him, no, I am not blind, and he kept walking. As if he's close. Such tolerance, such forbearance. What we would pay to have Muslims on the earth with these attitudes. The Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in the Muslim Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حرم على النار كل هين لين سهل قريب من الناس. Forbidden for the fire to touch is every person that is hayin, simple, layin, flexible, sahl, easy to deal with, قريب من الناس, very close to the people. Most of us, we have no patience. We have no tolerance. But people always have to be careful what we say in front of us. We always take it the wrong way. We don't give them the benefit of the doubt. But where do we get out of that? And then you remember the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. He said that perhaps a fasting person, all he gets out of his fast is hunger and thirst. May Allah not make us among them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O people of Iman, have the taqwa of Allah as it is to do right, and do not die, do not meet Allah except in a state of complete and total submission to Him in a state of Islam. This was but a glimpse of what can be implied by the verse of Allah, وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And fasting is better for you if you only knew. If you only knew. Fasting, the very last thing I will say about fasting, these were some of the personal benefits of fasting and the communal benefits for the society in this world and the next. On top of that, there are doctors and researchers and physiologists that have written books, many of them non-Muslims, on the medical benefits of fasting as well. How it has been proven to heal what nothing else can heal. And I like this carol, just one. A man who wrote a book called Man the Unknown, and he won the Nobel Prize in physiology and medicine. He's not a doctor in the yellow pages. Not a doctor that had that no one knows about. A Nobel Prize winner in medicine. He used to say, and every single person, all I will say about the medical benefits, and every single person, whether he is sick or he is not, should be fasting. Should get accustomed to what the human race cannot be successful without, and that is getting used to a little bit of food. And it has been proven that fasting is the alternative that will work with the things that no other medicine has worked with. And he mentioned cancer, and he mentioned tumors, and he mentioned arthritis, and he mentioned skin, and he mentioned bones, and he mentioned blood, and he mentioned the heart. And you name it. But what do you get out of fasting? The number one prerogative, your goal for fasting is enslavement to Allah and fulfilling His commands. All of these benefits are fruits, they're pleasant side effects of fasting. But what is the level of your fast? Will you just get the medical benefits? Will you just have one good behavior? Or will you be a human on the earth that is loved by the kings of the heaven and the earth? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah said, fasting is on three levels. The first level are those that stay away from food and drink and the things that break their fast. And these people have simply lifted the obligation. They will not be punished. But they have no reward. They lose out on the reward. The second level, the elite, these are the general folk. The elite, he said, are those that stay away from food and drink and everything that breaks their fast, and everything that displeases Allah. So there are things that are sinful, and they're not called ifsar, but you may ruin your reward of fasting. So these people are, they're freed of their obligation, and they have a reward with their Lord. He said, and then the third, the elite of the elite, khawaful khawaf, he says, are the people that fast. They stay away from every single thing that does not remind them about Allah. Stay away from every single thing that distracts them about Allah. And these are those that truly love Allah. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, and how weird is it, how strange, doesn't it sense, that a person claims to love someone and we need to remind him about the one that he loves. With that, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with the fasting we are going through. And to not make us of those that simply reap out of fasting, hunger and thirst. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return Ramadan to us while we are free and with good health for years and years to come. Lastly, this subject of the masjid. One time the khutbah is in a place for tenants. And before a time, we are below a bar, and below a club. We understand, and we want to just remind our brothers, as you know, we understand as well, that this is a matter of patience, that we discuss perseverance. It is not one fundraiser that is going to happen, and the message will be booked, and the message will be regained. But for you to not lose your enthusiasm, to continue, because of the signs of those that are successful in the dunya and the akhirah, those that are continuous with their good deeds. So if you are those that donate, continue to donate. If you are those that want to help God donate, continue to do that. This is the only thing that will bring about a solution. Listen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one, the most beloved acts to Allah are the continuous, the repetitive actions, no matter how little. The continuous actions. Look at, too, a person that is sick. The doctor gives him a cure, antibiotics. Can he just take it all on himself? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But he has to dose after dose after dose after dose to be continuous and to not let up. Can he take one dose and leave 2 days, take another dose? He must be continuous and perseverant, and then he'll be able to smile later. Do not lose hope. Do not lose heart. Look at a stone. And building a masjid is not more difficult than putting a rock through a stone, a hole through a stone, as they say. All you're doing is building stones one top of another. Or purchasing stones. Or it's difficult to put a hole through a stone. They said, the scholars said, the effect of good deeds on the heart and the person and the community are like the effect of a drop of water on a stone. What does it mean? Look at a stone, a big rock. Were you to pour a bucket of water on it, and then you stop, nothing will happen to the stone. But were you to take a one drop of water and to drop it little by little by little by little, a drop after a drop, you'll put a hole through that stone. Likewise, those that have put a dollar, every day put a dollar. Those that last year they collected 5,000, collect another 5,000 from those around you. That is what will bring about the result. And these are the methods and the way that we are supposed to look at things. Because when we perceive things the wrong way, we lose heart and say, oh, we tried and it didn't work. No, no, no. This is a continuous job. And after the salah, bi-ithnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, the doors will be opened as usual to continue in our job, which is raising the flag of La ilaha illallah in debatably the capital of the world in the heart of New York City. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. Forgive me for the elongation, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family and reunite you with the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah and gather us around the rivers of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the harm from the sick of the Muslims. May Allah remove the poverty from the poor of the Muslims. May Allah remove the punishment from the persecuted of the Muslims. Allahumma ameen. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa salli Allahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.